I think the parents are as guilty as Carol Baskin.
We're not going to talk about Carol. Not Miss Carol. I fucking stan her.
Oh, my God.
Joe really thought he was going to get out with Trump's little pardons. He really had that. He really was ready, and then they were like, nope. I know he was hot.
That boy was sick.
He was no longer Republican. Welcome back to another episode of AP Podcasting. I am your host, Xavi, and today we have entrepreneur guru, young money maker, life coach.
Listen, I wouldn't say all that now, but I go with life coach. My name is Lewis, and I'm here with y'all on my AP Podcast.
How are you doing?
Bro, I'm doing wonderful.
How's today been going for you?
Today's been good. Today's been an off day, so off days are always great.
Exactly.
Give me time to do what I want to and work on myself, so I can't complain.
I wish I would do anything for a day off during the week anymore, because now I just like 9-to-5 office gig, and sometimes I just want off on a Thursday.
I promise you, that should be the struggle. Luckily, I work in a bar, so my schedule is a lot more flexible, but due to the Super Bowl, it's been a shit show.
Oof. This actually will come out. So we are doing this Thursday before Super Bowl Sunday, so I'm not sure what that day is of the Friday that will be being released, but hopefully y'all will have a winner by then, and hopefully it's not the Buccaneers.
See, that's crazy. So y'all will get two goats around the Super Bowl. Goat Xavi and goat Tom.
No, never. neither of us are but today we are talking about something that I very much need in my life, something that I think a lot of us need in our lives due to this ongoing nightmare of what we call COVID-19, which is positivity. And I couldn't think of anybody more positive, especially after the conversation we were having a week before I asked him to be a guest. So positivity
to me is, that shit is just essential and it's important. Like you said, there's a lot of negativity going around in the world, and then there's also a lot of people that we see in our lives that just choose more of a negative outlook. I'm not throwing no shade, you guys, don't tell me what I'm talking about. But I feel like you have to choose positivity in your life, and positivity is really just being able to choose the good situations, or the good in situations, or interactions, or people, or your thoughts over the bad ones. And it's really a skill you have to work on. It's not something that usually comes natural, because it's easy to find negativity. But when you get that skill down, I promise you it'll be beneficial.
Oh, absolutely. And definitely something, again, that everybody needs right now with everything going on. I think that the thing that I always, me personally, the biggest issue I had with overall keeping like a positive attitude was like, once you have it, it's hard to like maintain
it, for sure,
because especially when it's like you feel, even just having a bad day, but it could also go into the next day after that, and it almost feels like an avalanche of just like shit going on. Like this week I was like, literally I had to get my glass replaced on my car. And then my window was fucking going, like, breaking. So, like, I've been in the dealership in and out all week.
One thing after
and
that,
exactly. And then I still have to wait for the part. So I have to go back to the dealership next week. So I was just like, damn, like, give me a break.
Yeah, so, like, let me breathe. No, I know. It really feels like it when it rains, it pours. When shit,
absolutely.
When shit is going bad, bad shit tends to find you even more. I feel like it'll always be a roller coaster, though. There'll be no way to be on a constant uptrend with your positivity. It's just more or less moving your positive outlook from like looking for it externally to internally, because you can't control external circumstances. Like you said, you can be in and out of the dealership, shit can be going bad in your life, nobody saw COVID coming. So like those kind of things you can't control and force positivity on. But you can.
He saw my face. I was like, who didn't see it coming?
Pause. But you can control like your mental reactions to it. You can control the shit that goes on in your life and the way you think about it and the way you treat yourself in the meantime. So focusing more on the internal positivity part will help your roller coaster of ups and downs level out a little more. You'll still face those, but they'll be so much easier to face.
Yeah. So how is, like, again, what you said with maintaining how you react to mm-hmm. outside forces that are testing your patience or testing your positivity. What are some like things that you've either been taught or like learned yourself on how to like keep a positive outcome, be like a glass half full rather than a glass half empty kind of person.
For sure. A couple things that's helped with that is the realization that literally if you look back on virtually any bad thing that's happened in your life, something positive has come, whether it be a lesson or whether it be like a toxic situation that you got out of that you thought was bad at the time and now it's better for you in the future. You know what I'm saying? Hindsight is 20/20. So looking back and realizing a lot of those bad things happened for a reason and something positive came afterward, as well as spending time with yourself. Personal development is a big thing.
Do you have like a story that was like, damn, like in hindsight, like at the time, this was like the most annoying or like the most trying thing that has ever happened to me. But in hindsight, I wouldn't be where I am now without that.
If it wasn't for it.
Yeah.
I have two that pop up immediately off the top of my head. One's a little more relatable. Prior, when I started getting more into my more physical prime, I got in a relationship, attracted a woman that I wouldn't have otherwise been able to get into. And then I was with
he this said group. After I glue up on you bitches.
Nah, I ain't say none of that. But,
I know, said, who want me?
Back then they didn't want me, no, how they all long. But I got into this relationship, you know what I'm saying? And then, of course, naturally, like we all do, like things started coming together. All right, you want to get a house with this person, you start seeing your future with this person, like, and you start building your life around that. And then it wasn't what I thought it was. The person kind of did me dirty. And it didn't work out. And at the time, that shit sucked. And it had me depressed and it had me down and self-conscious
right.
for a minute. Because I'm like, damn, how can you give your all? And if I gave my all and that's not good enough, then will it ever be? And
exactly.
It started like same thing you said, downward spiral kind of situation. And then afterward, after about 6 months to a year, a full recovery. And then me seeing like as I was glowing up, I needed to stay in that sweet spot of growth as opposed to a
right.
lot of people. You'll go to the gym and be healthy for a period of time until you attract somebody, and then once you get in a relationship, you stop. And so we keep doing all these things for other people to get their attention, and then once we got it, we step back. And so I feel like that showed me that like I just needed to spend more time with myself. I didn't do this to get distracted or to be some or be with somebody. I was doing this for me.
Right.
And then now I'm in a much better mental position, much better physical position, much better mindset position. So to me, that bad that I thought I wouldn't recover from ended up becoming one of the best things that happened.
And there's a lot of people like my favorite pastime is when I spiral, I go down a fucking like toilet bowl and I just like I could spiral off of like getting a fucking C on a grade, and you will not hear from me for like 7 days.
What drops off goes.
I literally like there are things that drive me absolutely nuts that shouldn't, and I think that a lot of people have like those triggers, or like a lot of people are just like being like mad.
Angry. Yeah, they
like look being for sad, things. Like being yeah. angry. They like looking for things to pick apart. And as someone, like, I definitely can say that I was one of those, mm-hmm. like, people before. How do you kill that energy specifically? And it's not something, I don't think that it's something that you can do overnight. You mm-hmm. can't just wake
yeah,
up a brand new person.
Different. Yeah,
I mean, I'm built different. So,
ooh, okay.
no, I'm
kidding. You're like,
yeah. So, but I, like, how do you, what are the steps that you can take to, like, that, physical health is definitely one of those things. Like,
sure.
I definitely was trying, like, one of my resolutions that I already gave up was jogging because it was, I can't work out anymore because I had that back surgery last year.
And your back will fuck you up.
Yeah. So I have been, like, I still have, like, a year and a half to recover before I can start, like, lifting
like
weights
lifting,
again. So I was trying to get into jogging just because I needed to get out of the house because, especially when all you do is work, come home. Go to sleep, wake up,
again.
Work, come home, go to sleep, wake up. You need to, like, change because
mm-hmm.
that is something that will keep you in that mind state. I liked the idea of running until I was actually sweating. and that's just something, like, always been me. Like, I always have never been, like, a physical activity kind of person.
For sure.
Even though I definitely wish I was because I like being active
being
and playing
active,
sports
yeah.
and stuff like that. But when you don't have the execution that
you
need
yeah, like,
to participate in set things, it's like,
he's like, I'm cool.
Let me go turn on this PS5.
I'm going to go play football.
Exactly.
Right now. No, I feel you. I feel like something that's super basic, that's a step to get you into kind of breaking that mindset more or less or help you out. And it sounds super basic, but literally it helped me in the beginning is every time you mentally catch yourself like picking apart something or saying something negative, immediately try to balance it out with something else positive in the situation. Like something as, you know what I'm saying, as dumb as if at work I expected to be there till a certain time and now they need me to stay a little extra, I can, as opposed to your initial thought, which is perfectly fine, being upset that you have to stay extra, your secondary thought should be, okay, well, I'm making more
money. This check, yeah.
Yeah, this check. Like, so, do something.
This bag.
Exactly, this bag. Yeah, this cheese. Get this bread. Get the head, get that bread, then leave.
Exactly.
But think of something to balance it out. Don't just leave it on a negative note. And like I said, it sounds basic, but I promise you it'll help. And then a second thing that I realized is that, like, when you pick apart or see negative, that shit does not affect nobody else but yourself. Like, essentially, you're going to be the one that's having a bad time. So once I realize that I'm forcing myself, I have to do it anyways.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Why make myself have a bad time while doing it?
And again, for those people who are just like, damn, I hate everything. Like, I'm going to pick apart every situation that I am a part of and do the opposite of, like, I'm just going to dwell in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to get out of that.
To break it.
Yeah, to break that repetitiveness of just trying to see the dark in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, one of the things, like, I know, this actually isn't a podcast episode, it's just a therapy episode. one of the things, like, I know, exactly, like, I had a lot of shit going on as a kid regarding who I was around at the time, or regarding, like, family and whatever, so-and-so, this and that, such and forth. And when you're around negative people, it, you kind of grow into it. Like, they, like, who you are around molds you, shapes you, everything. And you have the power, no matter how old you are, no matter where you are, no matter who you live with, you have the power to find new people in your life, mm-hmm. who will keep you out of that mold and cast you into something that is
something better.
And a lot greater. And I don't think that people, like, especially people like our age, understand that. Like, it really is who you're around.
Because they're more focused on fitting in as opposed to cultivating you get to choose your friends, and most people allow whoever chooses them to just be a part of their life. And I feel like you have to have standards for those kind of things. The same kind of standards you'd have for a relationship, you need to have with friendships.
Exactly. And if you, like, and that's actually a very excellent way to put it, because when you think about it, why, if you have so many expectations for someone you are seeing, I can't date someone who doesn't do this, I can't do mm-hmm. this, whatever, why are you not holding your friends to the same standard? And sometimes it becomes, like, a little too much. Like, you can definitely get to the point where it's not even, like, expectations, it's more of, like, arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
I do definitely think that some people are like, oh, if you don't weigh, like, 80 pounds, like,
yeah,
you can't be in my circle.
Too much now. Yeah, for sure.
But there are people, like, if you... You absolutely have every right to not want to continue a friendship or be friends with somebody if you don't like the energy that you're receiving from mm-hmm. them. It might not even be directed towards you. It might not even be like, you guys don't,
it's
like...
just what you're picking up
right.
off of being around
them. If you are a person who is very extroverted, likes to go out, but you also are, like, with people who don't prefer to go out or whatever, you have every right to go find friends that you...
that like to do that.
To like to do what you like mm-hmm. to do. Whatever you are, like, whatever you enjoy, there is definitely someone on the planet who enjoys the same thing. You don't have to limit yourself or, like, oh, I'll feel bad if, because we've done this together, we've done... You have every right to grow out of something with somebody.
Yeah, you can.
Doesn't matter who it is.
You can outgrow people, and people don't realize, too, like, you can have situational friends. Like, not everybody that you befriend has to be on that best friend level. Like you said, there's someone out there for you that you hit on all levels.
Right.
And those are your close friends. And then there's situational friends where, like, are just your going out friends. But you shouldn't do business with your going out friends, because those aren't going to align. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You shouldn't have a friend who makes terrible life choices be your therapist and consult in them
right.
and get their advice, because they're going to steer you in the direction of their life. And so you have to realize that there's situational friends, and there's good friends, and there's best friends. And you have to realize the time frames on your relationship. There's people I can be around for only 3 minutes. There's people I can be around for 3 hours. There's people I can be around for 3 days. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? So on and so forth. You have to realize the time frames
right.
of your friendship.
You have to support yourself no matter what at the end of the day. And, like, if somebody takes your mental health or your overall stability of, like, I need to better myself or I need to distance myself, if they take that personally, then there's really nothing you can do about it. And you kind of just have to keep it moving.
Yeah.
Because, like, I have definitely been in a situation. Like, even, like, we worked together at Olive Garden. Actually, I'm going to beep that out. I don't need that in my life.
I'm about to expose that part of me.
We worked together, and we had a very tight circle when we worked there. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of people, like, when you and... group of friends. Yeah, when you... Well, even when you, Ahmad, friends of the show, hey, Miles and John lived together, and you guys would do, like, the Taco Tuesday or whatever with all of the work friends, like, you guys were kind of inseparable. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a lot, and now, like, I have... And I eventually joined that group. It wasn't around for long. But, and then now, like, half those people that I was like, these are my best friends, I haven't spoken to them in months, years. I haven't spoken to some people since I quit there.
Or, like, people you meet in high school or people you meet through other mutual friend groups. Like, you feel like these people are forever. And then sometimes you just outgrow people or people outgrow you.
Right.
And it's the circle of life. Like I said, you can't take it personally.
Yeah. And you definitely, if you don't want people to get offended with you growing apart from them or you just not wanting to pursue something anymore, then you also have to take what you give. You can't get upset when somebody is trying to uplift themselves and you might not be part of that picture anymore. Mm-hmm. But speaking of mental health, which is another very important topic regarding positivity, I'm glad that, like, when you think about it now, it's becoming such a more important conversation publicly.
It's a trend now on social media, so it's dope because it brings awareness.
Right, rather than a lot of people, like, especially when I was growing up, it was more of just like a, like, suck it up kind of thing.
Like, get over it, don't cry about it, like, bottle that shit up and keep it
pushing. Yeah, it was more of like, it wasn't more of a topic, it was more like taboo to talk about feelings no matter who you were. And I do think that there is, like, a stigma around being a man
and being emotional
and there, like, that has definitely been brought up in me, like, personally. Like, the last time I cried was literally probably when I was like 13 or 14 because I was scared of getting my ass beat for crying.
I gave you something to cry about.
Right. So literally it just, like, honestly, it's kind of like been erased from my fucking head. But that's not a good thing.
No, I agree with you on that. I probably haven't really cried in years. But not because I can't necessarily express sadness. Anything that would make me cry is usually out of my control in that situation.
Right.
It's something so big that I can't control it. So why even emotionally work myself up to that point?
Right.
And then other things are so small where they wouldn't work me up to that. So I feel you. But
I'm definitely one of those people that's like, if I probably started crying, like, it wouldn't stop for like 3 days. Because it's just been
it's
there.
Overflow,
it's
right?
Just been like, I feel like I'm Naruto and that bitch is just in a fucking gate inside of me. And if that key opens, the shit's flooding. Right, it's gone. Like, it's, there's no stopping. Literally Katrina in my fucking chest. But yeah, so it's just crazy because mental health is such an important topic. It always has been, but I'm definitely glad that it's been being publicized. And the only thing that it's a downplay is that it's also been romanticized. Like, it's like quirky and cool to be like, I need a mental health day.
Like,
you're going to Chipotle. Like,
right, or people just say it and they don't
right.
Like themselves.
Exactly. I was like, you haven't done laundry in 3 days. Like,
you
that's
got
the
take
mental.
Care of
yeah,
yourself, love,
exactly. That's not mental health.
No, it's wild. Mental health, like you said, it's positive that mental health's been on a lot of people's minds lately. And mental health sounds like it's something super complicated, but it really. And I broke it down to like three things. It's a mixture of IQ. As in, not IQ as in schooling, education, but just you educating yourself. It doesn't matter what department, you intentionally educating yourself. It's a mixture of EQ, as in emotional intelligence. Doesn't mean you don't get emotional or you get overly emotional. It just means that you're able to check your emotions at the door and rationalize them as they come up, as opposed to just letting them surface
right.
And control you and guide how you think or what you do. And then the last piece is self-belief or confidence. And I feel like when you blend those three things, and once you get a balance, your mental health is on point, and you will be so much happier just without even having to try or focus on it, like we talked about.
Yeah, and especially so, break down the first two because I don't. Can you go even further? Because I don't know how people will perceive being like told like you have to be
IQ.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I mean as far as IQ. So I never went to college. I graduated high school, and I graduated high school literally the last. month and a half of school. So when I say IQ, I'm not talking about like schooling education, although schooling education can be a form of it. I'm talking about like there's an area you're passionate about. Like I love psychology. I don't go to school for psychology, but I constantly, like, I read books on psychology, or I listen to YouTube videos or podcasts on psychology. Same thing for stocks. Like, are you educating yourself beyond what you see on social media? A lot of people will get out of school, and if, whether they graduate at 18 or whether they graduate at 22 after college or even further, once people stop going to school, they feel like they need to stop educating themselves, or they no longer educate themselves. Right. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like you can't take an 18-year-old mindset or a 22-year-old mindset and then take on your whole life with it. I feel like you need to continue to educate yourself in whatever department you choose, whether it be art, whether it be cars, whether it be just people skills. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just the fact that you're taking the extra step to educate yourself will put you on a different level. EQ or emotional intelligence, that one's been a big one for me, and it's a big one for a lot of people. Just like we talked about, how easily are you to be offended? How easy is it for negative things to rock your world and send you on a spiral? How easy is it for someone to say something that could rub you the wrong way? Like, are you, you know what I'm saying? Are you comfortable with yourself? So like,
I've been suspended on Twitter like twice this week because someone came. Listen,
free my dog Zay.
So please, just at me next time.
Please enlighten me. Listen, I'm throwing shade all through this podcast. But it's important. Just like check your emotions. Your emotions are there for they're just there for guide points. They're like the little dots on the road to let you know when you're swerving into a lane, just to prepare you. But they should not control everything you do.
I do like that. And there are many ways to better your mental health. And that's not something. And if you think that you need to better yourself, or if you think that you need to better your mindset or your headspace, you do not have to do it yourself. Yeah. Actually, during December of last year, I started undergoing therapy, like counseling, just mm-hmm. someone to talk to, because there aren't a lot of people that I am comfortable sharing personal things with. And the whole point of the therapy is to help me not need therapy. The whole point of my counseling is to help me be able to communicate and express with people that I care about, in order to prevent them from not thinking that I don't want to talk to them. It's that, for me personally, I started doing that to prevent myself from pushing people away. So like a common thing where a lot of people do, including myself, is as soon as something goes wrong or haywire in their life, their immediate thing is, I can do it myself. Like, I don't need anybody around me. Like, don't ask me if I'm okay. It's fine. I got it. And you are definitely allowed to not be okay.
Yeah, you're perfectly fine. I feel like a lot of that stems from, it's a self-image, but not a self-image in a negative way. So when you're around people, there's a certain person who you are, and that's how you operate. That's how you believe they perceive you. This is who you are. And sometimes we feel like being vulnerable and exposing ourselves makes us weaken these certain things, which might potentially change how they view us.
Right.
Therefore, we don't want to do that, and so we just keep it to ourselves. And then what I had to realize is that, like, I've interacted with these people. I've built relationships with these people. They know who I am. They know my true intentions. They know where my mind is. They know how strong of a person I am. They know me in all these areas. So me being vulnerable or exposing myself will not drop, quote unquote, will not drop or cause a negative self-image
right.
in their eyes of me.
Right. And nobody, like me personally, like if someone is going to break down or be vulnerable or show their insecurities or something in front of me, like my first response is to not judge or take lightly to what's going on. But that's only like, that's me specifically. Like if you are talking to me specifically, like, oh, like I just wanted to talk to you, I'm having you know, something going on in my life or whatever, that I am 99% sure that the majority of people on the planet are like that. And especially if you do have friends, 99.9% of them are going to be there for you if you need them. And if you don't, they are not your friends, and you shouldn't have even been around them in the first place. But I know that there was something that you wanted to discuss, which was leaning into fear and
insecurities. So leaning into fear and leaning into insecurities is definitely probably one of my favorite topics. And it's something that's, I would say, helped me the most in my personal development journey. Because if you think about it, majority of our fears and insecurities are lifelong. They have been lifelong. We've had them for either our whole life or majority of them. And the reason why the duration of them is so long is because they're fears and insecurities. So instead of going after them, we're scared of them. So we avoid them. We put them on the back burner. We stay away from them. And that just causes it to have to stretch out much longer than it has to. So in certain situations, like if I'm afraid to talk to a person, as soon as I think the thought that, no, don't do it, I'm going to do it now because I just pissed myself off for being a pussy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just made me mad, and so I'm gonna do it anyways.
You know what? Fuck you. Like,
yeah, fuck you. Now I'm gonna do it. Now I'm gonna embarrass you. Scared to be embarrassed? I'm gonna embarrass you now. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so body positivity. Like, I was always insecure for my body for a long time, and therefore I would hide it, or I would wear certain shirts, or I wear certain sizes. And like I said, if you're insecure about something, face that.
Now
shit
look at this nigga's Instagram.
No, don't look at
that. Now look at it.
But if you're insecure about something, face that shit dead on, because I promise you, it'll be uncomfortable in the beginning, but you'll get over it so much quicker.
That's actually so funny, because this isn't like a personal like fear or whatever, but as a kid I was terrified of Chucky, and like something like my mom fucked me up one day because we were like, I think we were at Spencer's in the mall, and I like pointed at it, like at the doll, because you know how they fucking sold his little ass.
Scary ass.
And
fuck that.
I think I asked my mom while she was buying something, and I was like, "What is that?" And she was like, "You're too young. Like, don't worry about it." And I think I like kept asking her, and it pissed her off. So it was like, "He's a little fucking doll who kills people."
And that scared the fuck out of PTSD. The fuck out of,
right, literally. Never even seen the movie, but like every time I saw him, like just terrified.
Instant.
So eventually I came around to, I think this was like Halloween 2019. I went to my friend Sammy's house, friends of the show. Hey, Sammy. She goes to USF. This bitch decides to put on Chucky. Like, she didn't know about
that. Oh,
she just was like, this is my favorite movie. I was
like, no, bitch, turn this off.
Really? I didn't say anything because I was like, I literally came over there to watch scary movies. It was Halloween.
Oh, so
I was like, I'm not going to fucking say, like, pick a different one. So we watched it. Honestly, like, I was laughing more than I was fucking, like, scared of him. Mm-hmm. Like, and now I'm grown. Like, I'll kick that little fucker.
Right, kick like, him across the room.
Like, Nicki Minaj, like, and then I'll kick that hoe.
Well, listen, and then looking back, though, you realize how silly it was in the
right,
first place.
Right, how much of a waste of time it was, because I had so many fucking nightmares.
And like, it traumatized
for some reason, like, some of them involved, like, Chucky and the Ninja Turtles for some reason.
Oh, they were a team?
Like, no, they, like, me. The one I remember the most, which is the dumbest shit I've ever, like, in hindsight, like, why the fuck was I dreaming about this as like a kid?
Is crazy.
Because I was traumatized. Was me and the Ninja Turtles trying to hunt this little fucker down.
Oh, you got a squad.
In the sewers. Do you know how scary? Yeah,
fuck that. The setting is scary.
I was
the
like
person
eight.
You're hunting.
I was like nine dreaming this shit.
Where were your parents? Why were you in sewers with
your mom. I love the Ninja Turtles. So I was like, if anybody is going to solve this little fucker and beat his ass, it's Leonardo, Raphael, Donatello, and Michelangelo. So we are good. And I remember they caught his little ass and put him in a balloon and then gave me the balloon.
Did you let him go?
No, I was scared of the balloon. But I wouldn't. But they told me not to let go, because if I let go, he'd escape. And so he would just smile at me in the balloon, and I'd be like, eh. And I'd never even seen it before.
It's a mixture of
so when I, like, the first time I watched it, I was like, this looks like something in my dream. Like, I had deja vu. And
you
I was like,
royalties.
And dead ass. I mean, it came out in the 80s, but.
Oh, okay, too
short. That was just what was going through my fucking head as a fucking prepubescent fucking boy. So you can obviously understand where my motherfucking mental health has been since then.
At least you faced it and chased him down.
I did. Now I watch that movie with anything. And I didn't know that Red Man was in it. Or Method Man. It was one of them was in it. And I was like, why are they in this fucking movie? It's like when Ludacris was in, like, Halloween.
It's a lot of old
and
movies.
Kelly Rowland was in Halloween, and she called Michael Myers a faggot.
Which wouldn't have flown now.
Honestly, she can say it.
It's not letting it slide.
She was part of Soldier. She can say it. She was Destiny's Child. She absolutely can. But yeah, so back to motherfucking positivity, and leaning into the fear and the insecurities. What is a practice that people can do to avoid leaning into those or giving into those fears besides, just telling yourself to confront it? Because sometimes people, and like maybe like younger people or something, they are refusing to fucking to charge in, and that's fine because they have all the time in the world to overcome it. But what is something that they can at least do to like suppress it, or at least to get them through the day rather with their insecurities.
Put your, I would say, and this one would be a little bit harder, but put your self in those situations more. So for instance, I didn't really like, because I'm more of an extroverted person, I don't like, at first I didn't like being by myself. So I lived by myself for an extended period of time just to be in that that space more. But I feel like it was healthy for me to do that. Or like, so just put yourself in them situations more. Same thing, we go back to the body thing. I always felt some type of way about it. I would just take off my shirt more. As well as it might help to go over the worst case scenario. So like, we'll say
like hypothetical.
Hypothetical. Go over the worst case scenario and you'll realize how dumb it is. Like there's this girl that I find attractive, right? And maybe I want to talk to her and then I get nervous because rejection, fear of rejection. Run out the worst case scenario, she can say no. Will that kill me? Will that change what I have to go do tomorrow? Will that change where I'm going today? It might change where I'm going today if she says yes. But like I said, run the worst case scenario and you'll realize how silly it is and that you're being scared for no reason.
Well, that also brings us into another section, which is, especially when you're going through hypotheticals and when you're kind of like living in your mind, a lot of people I know tend to do that, myself included.
Same.
I have a spare apartment in my fucking brain where I like, sometimes I will just tune out everything and people will be like mid conversation with me and I'll be like cutting onions in my little mind apartment, in my little brain apartment. I'll be like, sorry, did you say something? So I think that, and this is another thing that you brought up when we were kind of discussing talk points and what to discuss when we were talking about this topic, which was the way we talk to ourselves and maybe learning to talk to ourselves mm-hmm. better. Because a lot of people who are in their head tend to be people who also are only speaking negatively in their head.
For sure.
Like everything, like you could be one of those people, like I know I am, where it could be something so simple, like you're taking a test and it's going to be, and you could just immediately go, you're going to get this wrong.
Right.
You're going to fuck this one up. And next thing you know, you're just giving up completely. And now I'm just Christmas treeing my answers because I had already told myself that I was gonna fail. So how can the way we talk to ourselves and possibly overcoming that be beneficial to overall not only your positivity and your outcome on life but your mental health as well?
I feel like it's super important just to gas yourself up. Like, you're the only person that's known all your struggles and everything you've grown through from
right.
birth to now. Like, even your best friends don't know because they're not with you every day like you are. So you need to give yourself more credit and realize how far you've come and where you're at and that you've survived and that you've made it here and everything you've been through. Give yourself that credit and gas yourself up. There's a lot of people out there. There's some people that are kind and will tell you these things that you've worked on out loud, but a lot of people won't do that.
Right.
Or a lot of people's focused on themselves. So nobody's going to be there to support you the way you can support you. And I feel like we have to get in the habit of even like, I'll think something or do something or have an interaction with somebody and I'll be like, damn, good shit. Like, that was smooth. Like, compliment yourself. Like,
right.
if you look good, compliment yourself. And the only way you can have a negative outlook on yourself is if you agree with the other negative things that people are saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't say anything to harm me unless I partially agree with what you're saying.
Right.
And then now that hits a trigger point, it makes me feel some type of way. But if I have one belief and you say something that's a complete opposite, it might initially cause a reaction, but I can quickly write it off because that's not true. I know that's not true. I know what I've done. I know what I look like. I know what I've been through. I know what I've worked toward. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So the more you compliment yourself and have that self-belief and reassure yourself, just compliment yourself and stand in front of a fucking mirror and tell yourself how good you look. You know what I'm saying? Read a book and be like, damn, you're smart. Like, compliment yourself and gas yourself up, and then nobody else can tear that down.
I do think that learning to talk to yourself and learning to appreciate yourself a little more every day is very essential into being happier than normal. Being like eventually growing to that part where you are satisfied with who you are
mm-hmm.
and satisfied with how your life is going. And like the thing that's crazy is like I really go a lot of hours of the day just thinking about like the end
mm-hmm.
and I'm very much one of those people that's like, damn, like it's like, what's gonna happen? Like, it's mm-hmm. a void. Like
yeah, you well, worry you, about it because you
like,
don't know.
Is it just sleep? Like, whatever. And that's another thing is learning to not only talk to yourself better, but think about yourself and think to yourself mm-hmm. better. Because I my mind will go on and on and on without really doing anything. Like, and I think that I do that with my mouth too. I think that I can just talk and talk and talk without saying any fucking words. Saying anything that fucking matters. And I've probably done that like 6 times this episode. People are like, what the fuck is he talking about? That's why I'm the host, because you guys have to fucking deal with it. But the thing that's crazy with like learning to talk to yourself is that you really only have one voice. Like, you really only have, like, the person who has your back the most is yourself.
It's yourself. And a lot of people don't support themselves. You're not even, a lot of people aren't even on their own team.
Right.
And how can you expect to be happy or do anything when you're not even rooting for yourself? You're like in the other team stands talking about, oh, he's about to lose. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
watch this. I
promise you it's a fumble. Right. Next play. Like, you know what I'm saying? Get on your own team. Strap in. You'll have your ups and downs and keep it going. But listen, just touching, because this might be off subject too. But just touching on what you said about the void, because I think about that shit all the time, or the end all the time, or like sometimes I'll get in the thought process like, okay, well, what is the point of all this?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it made me realize it, like, do you remember the darkness or the void that was before you were born?
No.
So then why would you experience the one that was after? As well as the concept that no energy can die even from, or be destroyed even from water, like, you know what I'm saying, from to steam, to water itself, to, you know.
Right.
And so, if no,
come on, water cycle. We giving you earth space. Shout out to water. We giving you earth, space, and science fucking knowledge right now.
You feel me? So if no energy can be destroyed, your energy or who you are, your soul, won't be destroyed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you don't have to worry about having to experience an eternity of nothing, because you don't even remember the previous eternity of nothing. And as well as with that mindset that life will eventually come to an end, realize that this shit is a game. This shit is voluntary. Like, nobody's forcing you to live life. Like, you don't have to participate if you don't want to, and then enjoy it. Your life is literally a blink, like a snap, for you to experience experiencing.
Right.
For you to experience everything the world has to offer. The society we're in, the technological advances that we're seeing now, like, for you to experience other people and all these things that life has put in front of you for you to experience and enjoy, you're scared of.
Right.
Once you realize that, like, the main reason that you may feel dissatisfied with life is because you're operating your life on others' standards. So, like, your life is your life. There's no specific cookie cutter for what your life is supposed to look like. So how your life pans out shouldn't upset you or surprise you, because it's your life. It's how your life is supposed to pan out and is panning out based off your choices and decisions and actions. And so the only time that me personally can feel dissatisfied with my life is if I, for instance, go on social media and compare it to this other guy's life, and I'm like, damn, my shit could look like that. Why isn't it? Now I feel dissatisfied. Or my body could look like that. Why doesn't it? Now I feel dissatisfied. Or damn, I wish I was more outgoing like this person. Now I feel dissatisfied. Stop comparing yourself and creating your standards based off other people's standards. Feel what works for you. Create your standards for the level that you feel like operating and living your life, and you will be happier, because you're not trying to keep up with anything. You're just being you.
Right. Love yours. That's exactly what it is. And sometimes I actually, now that I think about it, I have not listened to that song in a while. And that is definitely something that is just a reminder that, like, I really do think money controls the fucking planet. And I think that, but at the same time, like, no matter what, how much money you have, if you have a hole that needs to be filled,
it'll follow you.
It's not gonna, yeah, it doesn't matter how much coin you got.
For sure. But if you can learn to be happy no matter how much coin you got, it'll only get better the more you get them coins.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You just have to...
Because I'm definitely a type of bitch that would rather cry in a Benz.
Shit. I need to see the stars on the Rolls Royce.
Right. I need... Exactly. I will be fucking pretending I'm on the fucking astral plane, like Black Panther type shit when I look up at this car.
I promise you.
But yeah, so... if you have any advice for you at, like, from 10 years ago, what would it be? Like, regarding, like, what you were going through at the time, like whoever you were around, whatever, if you have a piece of hindsight, like, thinking back, like, damn, I wish I knew this when I was this age, because it would have changed everything, what would that be?
I would say authenticity. Authenticity for sure, all through high school. A lot of after high school, up until I started personal developing, I was always trying to be like, all right, what will make people like me? What will grab people's attention? What would make them want to be friends with me or want to date me or find me attractive? And when I used to have that, since there's always different trends or different things people find attractive or different things people like, you think of it, you never have time to cement yourself and build who you are because you're always changing it to now to catch new attention.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I realize that people find authenticity so much more attractive than someone who's trying to be something they're not.
Right.
And I felt like I really stepped into who I was once I just said, fuck it, and just started being me. And, like, those who like me will stay around, and those who don't, I didn't want them to stay around anyway. So
right.
Why would I put up smoke and mirrors to distract you from who I am so you want to be my friend? You're really not my friend in the first
right.
place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there have been a lot of times where I was like, wait, who am I doing this for?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not me.
It's not me, yeah.
And there are a lot of people that I have come and gone with that I was like, I'm glad that they're gone.
They're gone, yeah.
Like, I'm glad, I'm glad that I didn't break or change for whatever they were trying to get me to become.
To become, yeah, to keep them around.
So I definitely think there, like, a lot, and I think that that can go for kids that are in high school and middle school right now, like, definitely is, and it's so cliche and it's so played out because everybody tells you that, but at the same time, there's a reason everybody
Why
says that.
Yes,
because
yes,
yes. It is so important to just make sure that you are doing whatever you can to be authentically yourself. And because there is no greater, like, there's no greater feeling than literally saying, like, I do it for me. I do it my way.
Some
Frank Sinatra shit.
And then people respect that. And then those who are around you, like you said, there's no greater feeling than, like, to think, like, the friends are around you because they enjoy you. They're not, like,
right.
they don't enjoy this hood version of yourself or this person who pretends to be smart or this person who may pretend to be creative. Like, they enjoy you. And then also, like, building those relationships off that fake version of yourself will now make those relationships require energy to maintain.
Right.
Which means that you can't just flow with that person. You can't just vibe with that person because you always have to have a shell or some kind of picture going on. Whatever the case may be.
Exactly. Well, if people would like to keep up on your daily life skills on your Instagram story, where can they do that at?
You can find me on Instagram at Lewgevity, LEW.
Or anywhere you would like to plug in.
Okay. Well, Instagram is the main one I use.
Okay.
I don't use any other social platforms. So, boom.
I'm built different.
One and done. Y'all can find me on Instagram at Lewgevity, LEWGEVITY.
Not longevity.
But
Lewgevity.
Lewgevity, because I'm here for a long time.
Because bitches that have play on words to their name are exponentially known to live longer.
Listen, that's not a fact, but I want to live longer, so we're going to go with that.
Well, I appreciate you joining us for this very special episode. This is something that I think a lot of people just need to hear, regardless if they want to or not. I think that this is just something that needs to be talked about more. Because again, like, the thing with mental health and positivity overall and just, you know, being yourself are the main takeaways from this. And I think that with everything going on, again, reiterating the fact that there is a lot of shit going on where it can just seem like a really fucked up place to be in right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to take the time out of your day to talk to yourself in a positive way and, you know, do the things we said, whether like it being like physical activity or things of that nature that will overall just kind of give you some serotonin.
For sure.
Because we all need it right now.
Most definitely.
So I appreciate y'all tuning in for this episode. We will have another one next Friday. And this is us signing off. So
take care, y'all.
Peace. Peace. Bye.